It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Tony Evers' administration says the new two-year budget provides an additional $3.4 million to reimburse counties for costs associated with providing services to crime victims and witnesses. We explore the work of the Justice Department's Office of Crime Victim Services that provides financial help and advocates for policies that enhance victims' rights and services. Call in with a question or comment along the way, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Shira Phelps is Executive Director of the Office of Crime Victim Services, assuming the position in March. Shira, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
As you started the job in March, what are your biggest priorities to improve services for crime victims?
Well, I see our role really as making sure that survivors and victims' voices and experiences are respected and central to all the work that we do in our office, and also the work that the criminal justice system does, that the Wisconsin Department of Justice does, sort of bringing the human element into the criminal justice process.
What does it mean to bring the human element? How do you give voice to survivors? What would be an example?
Well, I think number one is to listen to survivors. So one of the things that we're working on right now in our office is to develop a survivor advisory committee that will be a group of survivors of all sorts of different types of crime who can really help guide and advise the work that we do in the Office of Crime Victim Services, as well as the work that's being done at the Department of Justice.
You told the State Journal that what draws you to this work is the women you work with, and you say you've never met such strong, brave, remarkable people, but you also say the systems have failed them. What are the biggest issues?
Well, I have had the honor of working with survivors of human trafficking, sexual assault, domestic violence, a number of different gender-based crimes in my time working in victim services. And yes, the survivors are the most courageous and really outstanding folks I've ever had the honor to work with. I also have the honor of working with now in OCVS with a team of incredibly dedicated and brilliant victim service providers who work every day to try to sort of problem solve all of the gaps that our many systems have in serving victims of crime. As we work with survivors and we hear, not only the tragedy and the trauma that they've experienced in surviving or being a victim of crime, but just getting basic needs met in their lives. It's the criminal justice system sees survivors, at one of the worst times in their life, and they are, participating in the criminal justice system. And after an investigation or a prosecution is over, the victim's life continues, and the trauma that they've endured continues. And so we really need to make sure that we as communities and systems are set up to continue to provide support and healing for survivors in the trauma that they've experienced.
Part of that support comes from the Victim Compensation Fund, your office overseeing a fund that helps pay survivors for expenses that result from a crime. And from October 2021 to September 2022, the fund paid $3.9 million to more than 1,000 survivors. What are the challenges to reimbursing survivors?
Oh, well, right now it's the volume, which is quite large. There are a lot of folks that are really in need of compensation of, lost wages due to being a victim of a crime. In some cases, funeral expenses for a loved one who is a victim of a crime. And just being able to process, those claims and make sure that the victims are getting what they need within the statute that provides the compensation.
And who or what funds this victim compensation fund? Where does it receive those dollars?
Sure. So it's a federal pool of money, and it is not through tax dollars. It's through federal fines and forfeitures, and so it is a fund, the Victims of Crime Act fund, or sort of pool of money, provides victim compensation for every state and territory in the nation, on sort of like a formula basis.
When you look at the fund, and the number of applications, is the funding adequate for Wisconsin?
Well, I would say, there, it's hard to put a dollar amount on what victims and survivors need after being a victim of a crime and after the trauma that they have endured. And it's about the dollar. There is a dollar amount, and it's also just about the capacity of our team to meet the need of the many, many hundreds and hundreds of victims that are filing claims to receive this compensation.
Are there survivors who tend to be n denied compensation as you look at your numbers and statistics on this fund?
Honestly, I don't know the numbers. We have an incredible crime victim compensation team in our office, and if they are denied, it is not, it's due to the statutory elements that we are, required to uphold. But not to answer the question, but I really don't know what the numbers
Sure.
are, and I don't believe they're very high.
Talking with Shira Phelps, who leads the state's Office of Crime Victim Services, as we look more deeply at the role, you can join in with your questions and comments. 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Shira, people who commit crimes are often victims of crimes themselves. How does the office address the overlap between offender and crime victim?
Well, I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that there is such a need for ongoing support and healing for crime victims, especially children who have experienced such trauma and such, in many cases, violence. And then once, the system has done its work around investigation or prosecution or whatever piece the system is playing, that person's life moves on, and there's continued support and healing that is needed, and resources are needed for those ongoing supports. And so, an offender or someone who has committed a crime and harmed someone else, they may have been a victim of a crime, and that might help explain why they have done what they've done, but they've still caused harm. And so we still need to focus on the harm that was done and the person that was harmed. And when you take a step back and you look at the cycle of that, it's really heartbreaking and a very clear call for the resources that are needed to really help heal and support crime victims.
And when you look at the cycle and what is justice, from your perspective, what are your thoughts on harsher penalties for people who commit crimes?
Well, I don't know if penalties are really what we should be focusing on. Obviously, for public safety, we need to be thinking about consequences for actions. But we really, I believe, need to be focusing more of our efforts and resources on how do we get people the things that they need and the healing that they need so that they don't either feel that they need to commit crimes to meet their basic needs, or that they are in that they have been hurt before and they are still dealing with their trauma and therefore taking that out on other people and causing harm. I think penalties, there's a place for that, of course. But I really think that our entire system needs to be focused more on how do we help folks heal and how do we help give communities and families support so that that cycle doesn't continue.
Looking at your office's new budget over the next 2 years, the new state budget provides an additional $3.4 million to reimburse counties for those costs associated with providing services to crime victims and witnesses. Is that adequate funding?
It is better than nothing. As I said before, I don't know when we get to adequate funding, honestly. I think it's wonderful that that folks were given and victim witness offices were given additional funds because they are so desperately needed. So I don't want to belittle that. Absolutely phenomenal. And I don't think we get to a point where we say, oh, we have enough. We're meeting all of the needs of victims of crime, and we can move on, unfortunately.
Shira Phelps with us leads the Office of Crime Victim Services inside the State Justice Department as we discuss the needs of crime victims and survivors and funding for programs in the new 2-year state budget. Call in with a question, share comments along the way, 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We examine programs within the state's Office of Crime Victim Services and aspects of the state's new 2-year spending plan that could assist crime victims in pursuit of justice. The office helps survivors with their rights and access to services. Call in with a question, share a comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Shira Phelps is here, Executive Director of the Office of Crime Victim Services. Shira, you recently answered questions from survivors of abuse by clergy in Wisconsin through the organization AWAKE. What were your takeaways from those questions?
Well, I was happy to be interviewed, and I think it gave an opportunity to just shine another light on the clergy and faith leader abuse initiative. This initiative has been we're on 2 years now out of DOJ, and the level of support and all of that we're able to give victims is good, and we need to be doing more and for longer. I think it reminded me, being relatively new to this role, it reminded me of the importance of this initiative and that, we have folks calling in who are in their 80s and who have never spoken of the abuse that they suffered by, members of the clergy. And just to have an opportunity and a place to be able to do that, to say it out loud, have someone say, I'm so sorry that that happened and I believe you, has offered, peace and comfort to so many. And there's still a lot of work to be done. And so it was a good, my takeaways were, we're doing really great work, and there's still so much left to be done.
Part of that upcoming work, perhaps the State Department of Justice filing a motion to seize sealed records from the Milwaukee branch of the Catholic Church, the sealed records related to the $21 million settlement between the Archdiocese and hundreds of sexual abuse survivors. The department says the documents could help hold abusers accountable, and the church says, look, releasing the documents would violate trust. What is your take on that conflict?
Well, I think it is interesting to hear that from the church. So these are folks that have filed claims of abuse against the church, and all of these claims, went to the church. They have seen them. What the DOJ is asking for is to be able to see these documents and only to be able to use any information in cases where a survivor has contacted DOJ and has given permission for us to move forward, to investigate, to either try and get the clergy on the church's credibly accused list, or to see if, the statute of limitations is still in place if there's more that can be done in the criminal justice system. What we're asking for would not make any of these claims public. And I think it's a misrepresentation to say that they would.
If DOJ, Department of Justice, provides resources to survivors who are making reports to the clergy and faith leader abuse hotline and calling, what type of support is there? What are those resources like?
There are a number of really caring and wonderful supports for child sexual assault survivors, adult sexual assault survivors, some that focus on those who are harmed by clergy specifically, and some are more general. And we have a victim services specialist in our office who is incredible. And it is her full-time job is to take these reports for the Clergy and Faith Leader Abuse Initiative and to talk to folks and either refer them on for counseling or supportive services or just to sort of answer questions about where their case is and where they are in the process.
Transparency in this process, with this investigation through the Department of Justice, how important is that transparency in terms of what DOJ is trying to do?
Well, I always think transparency is important. When you're dealing with ongoing cases and investigations, criminal investigations, it's transparency takes on a different word, right? There's a lot of stuff that you can't talk about. But I do think it's important for the overall initiative to be very transparent about what we are able to do, what we aren't able to do, sort of where we are in the process. As I said, it's been 2 years. And we've had, I think, 280 reports so far, and that's not an exact number. That's a it's an estimation. And as I said, we still have a ways to go. And we as we receive these reports and we follow up on every single one of them, we're also putting together a report that will be public, and will be published that talks about, not just the reports, but the responses from the different faith communities. And, hopefully we will be as transparent as possible.
Sheriff Phelps leads the state's Office of Crime Victim Services within the State Department of Justice. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Shira, you most recently worked for the Federal Office of Victims of Crime in addressing missing and murdered Indigenous people and human trafficking. How can you apply what you learned on a national scale to your work in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's, again, I think the mission or sort of what we are striving to do in OCVS, bringing that human piece into the criminal justice system, is something I learned in the 20 years of, victim services, and also working with different communities across the country, and more specifically, tribes across the country, and how important and critical it is to involve communities and families in the work, and that survivors don't exist in a vacuum. They are in our communities, they are in our families. And how do we work together to support survivors? And how do we think about providing victim services for communities that are and have been historically marginalized and who really have a distrust for the criminal justice system, which is real. And so then how do we as DOJ, right, victim services, how do we start to rebuild that trust and provide as much healing and resources that we can in a way that is culturally respectful and acknowledging, some of the harm that we have caused, the bigger we of the system, and also just looking at and listening to communities tell us what they need and provide services in that way.
In our last moments together, is Wisconsin making progress to end human trafficking?
I believe so. I think there are a lot of really incredible people working really hard and working together on multidisciplinary teams. DOJ has the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force that is working law enforcement and victim services together to address this issue.
Shira, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Shira Phelps is Executive Director of the Office of Crime Victim Services. And you can hear this and other types of conversations over on our program page. Go to WPR.org/mornings. And you can also follow up for future ideas. Email us, ideas@WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.